it's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 28th of April 2012. Island Life is our weekly magazine show focusing on Waiheke people, events and issues. It's brought to you every Saturday morning from 10 till 12 by the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oneroa. On the 28th of April, Emma Boa Warner came back from maternity leave and talked to Rhiannon from Waiheke Library, Leah from Waiheke Vets, James from Green Space Landscapes with his Plant of the Month, Carol Westanley and Peter Reckes about Theatre of Resistance, and Neil Harding from Island Chiropractic.
You're back to us here in the studio, and we're welcoming Rhiannon, who is coming to replace Di because she's off sick today, from Waiheke Library. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Just say hello again.
Hello.
Yeah, we've got you there loud and clear. That's cool. Lovely. Well, thank you very much for coming in at such short notice.
No problem.
And how have you been? How's it all going in the library?
Yeah, it's going really well. We're starting to slow down just a teensy bit from summer, but we're still quite busy in there, so yeah. It's great.
It's good, isn't it?
Yep.
It's always busy in there, I think. It's
absolutely.
Always somebody to chat to or yep. Go in and read. So we've got New Zealand Music Month coming up starting next week.
We have, yeah, it's very exciting. We've got a great lineup for May. So we're kicking off on the 5th of May, Saturday.
Yep.
And all
Which
of our
is next Saturday, isn't it?
I know, yeah. It's amazing how fast this year's going.
Mm.
So all of the events are at 11 a.m. and they go for half an hour. So this coming Saturday, 5th of May at 11 a.m, we've got Radio Rebelde. An 8-piece band playing Latin ska and cumbia reggae. So
yeah.
That's going to be great.
Excellent. They're fantastic. Yeah, real high energy group.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the idea is if the weather's really good, we might even have them out on the stage, but we'll see how it goes.
Yep.
And then that afternoon, we've got a special.
Oh, a special.
Yeah, because Chris was going to be doing a session the following Saturday, and unfortunately he's not able to make it.
Chris Walker, our very own.
Yeah, he couldn't make it because he had an important meeting he had to go to. So he's rescheduled. So we've got an extra special one on the 5th of May between 2 and 3, where Chris Walker shares his love of New Zealand vinyl, and he's going to do a real vinyl DJ session,
yeah,
which is going to be
real Kiwi stuff.
Yeah.
He's been talking about that actually.
Yeah.
He's quite excited.
Absolutely.
It'll be really good.
Yeah. No, it's going to be absolutely stunning. And then the following Saturday on the 12th at 11, we've got the person who's filling in for the session that he was to do for us. And that's going to be celebrating one of the hottest areas of music, and it's called LP Spin Out. So, again, that's a celebration of vinyl.
Oh, excellent. So there's a little bit of retro coming
in
there.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And so then on the 19th of May at 11 a.m, we've actually got a slightly longer session there, hopefully going through to 11:45. We've got the Waiheke High School Choirs. So we're going to hear the beautiful voices that music teacher Sarah McNabb has nurtured. And I know that last year that was incredibly popular, and they sang beautifully, but it was quite a short session. So this time we've got more than one choir. So, yes, we've got a full session. So that's
okay.
Going to be lovely.
Oh, excellent. Mm. Excellent. That'll be really good. They've got some lovely voices in there, haven't they?
Yeah, stunning.
Real talent.
She does a great job.
She does, doesn't she?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And then on the 26th of May at 11 a.m, we've got Hooper, which is a newly formed band which features Nikki Natai and Miles Gillette.
Oh,
yeah, so that's going to be a real treat.
Wow, you've got some really good stuff this month.
Yeah, we're really
Excellent.
Lucky.
Oh, and that'll be the first time I've heard Nikki Natai since she's come back from overseas.
Yeah.
She was overseas for quite some time.
She was.
I bet she'll have some new flavours in there.
Yeah,
stuff
I'm sure
that she's
she
picked
will.
Up.
Yeah.
And with Miles as well. Fantastic. What a great lineup.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So really, if you want to listen to some good music during the day, and it's all family friendly.
Yes, absolutely.
It's all great for the kids to bring along as well. So, you know, it's something that everybody can come and listen to. And it's all free.
Yes, absolutely. And a celebration of all the talent we've got locally, which is great too.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, what a great month. I shall be there.
Cool.
Most definitely. Okay. What else are we going to talk about today?
Well,
since you've just pulled this all together on
On the fly in the last 15 minutes, yeah. Well, I've actually got a book I wanted to talk about that I haven't actually read myself, I have to say. I came across it because it's this woman's first novel.
Right.
And she started it as part of her NaNoWriMo, which I've talked about before. And the NaNoWriMo is a writing challenge which is run in America, which is an international writing challenge now. And it's a challenge to write 50,000 words in 1 month. And it's basically designed to help writers get through writer's block and just keep pushing on no matter what, how bad they feel it is, and just get through that and then maybe go on and get it published. Well, this woman did go on and get her book published, and it's actually been hugely successful. It's called Into the Darkest Corner, and it's by Elizabeth Haynes. And she's from Kent in the UK.
Right.
And she, it was interesting when I read her bio, she sounds very much like J.K. Rowling at the beginning.
Oh, to shame.
Because she describes herself as one of those people who wrote stories for as long as she's been able to write. And she remembers passing her stories around in the playground at school, which is exactly what J.K. Rowling did as well. So she's done heaps and heaps and heaps of writing since she was very young, but never got anything published. And then one day, I think she said it was, you know, she was either in her late 30s or her early 40s, and one of her friends finally said to her, when are you going to actually get something published? So she went and did the NaNoWriMo, and she did it, I think, about 2 or 3 years in a row. And then she, this is what she says happened. So in October 2006, a friend introduced me to the National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo, the site I'd been waiting for all my life. It's an annual challenge to write 50,000 words in the month of November. There's no grand prize other than the right to call yourself a novelist at the end of it. No reason to do it other than for the sense of achievement you get afterwards. The novel doesn't have to be good, it just has to be written. And who knows, at the end of it, you might have something worth editing. The whole point is just to get over writer's block, to get over the self doubt and to carry on, even though it feels like what's being written is rubbish. And then in 2008, I wrote the first draft of Into the Darkest Corner. I enjoyed writing it, and at the beginning of December, I thought my 56,000 words weren't half bad. I left it alone for a few months and then started tinkering with it again, adding some scenes and moving other bits around. Two of my friends were badgered into reading it, and to my surprise, they both liked it. I started wondering if it might actually be worth trying to edit it to see if it was something I could actually send off. Unfortunately, I'm useless at editing. So I got some help from Greg Mose, who has very kindly put me in touch with Myriad Editions, who became her publisher. And after that, things got very exciting indeed. Mm. Now, Into the Darkest Corner, I didn't read it in the end because it's a psychological thriller and it's very dark, which is just not my genre. But I knew it would be some other people's cup of tea because it was very well written. And I recommended it to someone who shall remain nameless because I'm going to use an anecdote. So this gentleman who I recommended it to, he said he took it home and he came back in just a couple of days later and he said to me, well, that book you recommended to me, he said, I was reading it until 2 a.m. in the morning, and at 2 a.m. my wife said to me, either you turn that light out or you go into another room. So he said, I went into the lounge and I finished it at 4 a.m. and he loved it so much and he passed it on to his wife and she did the same thing.
No.
Absolutely. So, and then they passed it on to a friend of theirs and she said the only problem with it was that she has to go to work.
Oh, really?
So that's three people who found it absolutely gripping. So if psychological thriller is your genre, I highly recommend Into the Darkest Corner. It's her first book, and it actually won the UK Amazon's Rising Star Best Book of the Year 2011.
Oh, wow.
And they described it as compelling and chilling.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that actually is my genre.
Ah,
so,
there you go.
There's one for me. I'm going to scribble down that name and
absolutely
get that. Yes, absolutely. That sounds fantastic.
Cool.
Oh, well, that's good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, and then just to round things off, mm-hmm. something that Di was going to talk about, and so I'm just going to ask you just off the top of off your head, mm-hmm. if you could give a bit of advice on ebooks and audiobooks
sure.
that are all downloadable.
Yep.
I personally had a little bit of an issue. I was trying to download one, but this was some time ago.
Was it an ebook or an audio?
It was an ebook.
E-book.
Oh, no.
Was
no,
it, audio?
It was an audio.
Audio
it was an audio
one.
Book. Mm-hmm. And it said I had to download some software.
You do.
And
yep.
I couldn't quite get it to work.
Okay. Yeah, so basically at the library we've got pamphlets about the downloadable media.
Right.
So if you come into the library and grab one of those pamphlets, it talks you through the process.
Oh, perfect.
And if you do hit really bad technical difficulties, like I don't know whether it's possible for your computer not to be able to cope with the software or anything, we do actually have technical people you can ring. So if you ring the main line, they can put you through usually to someone who
and
can help.
And they could talk you through.
Yeah, I actually did do that for someone who was having serious technical difficulties with it. But most people actually don't. Mm. You do have to download, so for the e-books, you have to download one type of software. And for the e-audiobooks, you have to download another one.
Okay.
So there are two separate types of software to cope with the different media. But I have downloaded both those without any trouble onto my computer.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and
okay.
And it was fairly straightforward.
Well, I was just doing it on the fly, just trying
yep.
to have a look at it, and
yeah,
just,
yep.
just pressing different things. And you know, as most people that know me will know, I am very, very technically able.
Yeah,
not.
So I think it was a case of if I'd had the instructions. And,
yeah, yeah.
I might have actually managed to make it work. So
exactly.
That's great. So if anybody goes in,
yep.
They can just pick up a pamphlet.
You can. And
talk them through it.
Yeah, and all the instructions are actually online as well. So you can look it
oh,
up
shush now.
Online on our website. We've got all
right.
the instructions on there as well.
Right.
And as I said, so long as your computer is well, I mean, my computer's quite old and it still managed it. So
sure,
you should be able to do it okay. And we're getting an increasingly large collection of e-books and e-audio available. One thing I will say is that if you're actually new to it and you're kind of trying to work out what's the things we've got and you haven't got anything in particular in mind and you're wanting to browse, I didn't actually find the digital library all that good for browsing because you can't narrow down to areas of subject interest necessarily very well.
Okay.
So what I tend to do is use our main website. So I go
yes.
onto the Auckland Library's website and I click in my genre preference, like whatever it might be. If it's psychological thriller, you put that in.
Mm.
And then on the page that comes up, you've got the ability to change the format. So if you look on the right-hand side, there's a heading called Format, and under that, there's Books, and there's E-books,
yes,
and there's
there
E-audio.
Yeah. And
so
that's
you
the drop-down menu,
yeah,
that little bit.
And
there.
You can select then that you're wanting only E-books or you're wanting only E-audio, and then you've got a really good tool for actually searching and finding things
oh,
that you're
excellent.
After.
Thank you for that. That's a real handy tip, actually, because, yeah, I didn't find going through the digital library that easy
exactly.
to do.
Exactly.
So
yep.
that's a really good way of doing it.
Yeah,
go,
absolutely.
Go through the main Auckland City Library website, and then you can just change the format to request just those ebooks
yep.
or audiobooks to come up. Perfect.
Cool.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and as I said, we're always willing to try and help if you want to come into the library and we can give you
yeah,
the pamphlets and
course.
Talk you through it.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks very much. It's been excellent talking to you.
No problem.
My first show back.
I didn't realise it was your first show back. That's
is.
Fantastic. Well done.
Thank you.
Waiheke Radio.
Hi, you're listening to Island Life on Waiheke Radio with me, Emma, and we are all welcoming our next guest, Leah from Waiheke Vets. Hi, Leah.
Hi there, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good, I'm really well, thank you.
I am in love with your funky hair.
Thank you. I'm very bright and you can't miss me. I'm sure everybody's seen me scooting around the island somewhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely
in
seen
my pink outfit.
Around. Yes, fantastic pink outfit. I haven't seen that. I've heard about
yeah,
it though.
Yeah,
I've heard about it.
Pink overalls. Yes.
Yeah. How
very
funky.
Fitting.
Very
yeah.
funky. Yeah. I was telling Leah before we came on air that I used to have hair like that, bright red, and used to love it. I used to stain every shower and t-shirts and stuff though
yeah,
all
same.
The time. Do you do
same.
That?
Same.
Yeah.
But, can't wear white.
No, white. Black was my favourite colour then, in those days. So anyway, thanks very much for coming in, taking some time out of your busy Saturday. And really what I wanted to talk to you about is your support of the Breast Cancer Foundation. So do you want to tell the listeners what it is you're doing?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I'm doing a month in May called Think Pink, and it's down at Waiheke Vets. I do the dog grooming there, and I spoke to Dan and Linda, the owners of the vets, about... doing a small fundraising for Breast Cancer Foundation, and luckily they're really supportive. So 10% of all the profits of the grooming will be going to the breast cancer research. And to make it a bit fun, I've decided to colour some dogs, different colours, but we're aiming for pink in the month of May. And the breast cancer breakfast is running throughout the month of May, so I thought it'd be a really good month to tie in because there's lots of awareness at the moment. So it just brings it to people's minds. And so it's a bit of fun. It's a completely non-toxic dye, so you can have your whole dog dyed pink. Wow. Or just the ears or tail, whatever you like. And for those of you who don't want to do that, I will give you a little ribbon to tie around the collar to show support.
Excellent. So how long does the dye last?
About two washes. It's like I say, it's completely non-toxic. I make it from a chalk spray, and so it's really easy to change the colour. If it's just something you wanted to do for a bit of fun, it's wash out, so it's fantastic.
So what sort of dogs have you done so far?
I've done Bichons, Maltese, Shih Tzus. I did a little Maltese yesterday with a pink tail.
Oh, come on, have you done any big dogs?
No, but I'm really wanting someone to bring me in a big white dog so I can do it completely pink.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Yeah. Have you taken any photos?
Yeah, I've taken lots of photos.
Oh, great.
And the marketplace ran a little piece this week, and it should be going in the Golf News, so just to make everybody a bit more aware.
Fantastic. Okay, so obviously this is all fun, which is great, but there is a serious message behind this,
absolutely,
isn't there?
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially, I think all women should be supporting breast cancer. It affects 1 in 9 women, have the chance of developing breast cancer. It's the most common cancer in New Zealand women. And more than 600 women this year will die of breast cancer. We really need to be getting the awareness out there, because to catch it early is, is the best way. Mm. And I think we all know someone who's either been affected by breast cancer or has passed away from breast cancer. So
yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It's something we really should be getting out there for awareness, because so many people will just put it to the back of their mind.
Yes, absolutely. So that's really supporting as well the mobile van, which I saw outside Placemakers this week or last week, for the breast screening. So that's women over the age of 65 can go along for free. And really, we should all be encouraging any woman in our life that we care about and love. We should really support them. Gang of girls, we've seen the adverts for the smears. Let's do the same thing, go down with a group of girls and go and get our boobs checked out, because at the end of the day, it can save your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I really like about the Breast Cancer Foundation, is that they're trying to make awareness they're all about education.
They are, yeah.
And research and community support, which is obviously, we're a small community here, so we should be really supporting them.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you haven't been down, get on down there and get that sorted. And also, take your dog to Waiheke Vets and get him or her coloured.
Yes,
fantastic.
Very exciting.
Excellent. Oh, well, look, thank you very much, and wish you all the best
thank
for that
you,
campaign.
Thank
I
you.
Think it sounds like a great, great one for people to get behind. And it's fun as well.
Yeah.
So I'll look forward to seeing lots of multicoloured pooches. It makes me wish I had another dog, because my doggie would have loved that if she was still here. She would have liked to be done up in pink, I'm sure. And even if she wouldn't, she would have coped. But I'm sure she would have loved it, because it's all fun. Okay, thanks very much, Leah, for coming
in. Thank you very much.
Well, hello, we're back with our next guest, James from Green Space Landscapes. Hello, James.
Good morning, Emma. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I've just had my hot chocolate, so I'm quite a happy girl now.
Oh, that's good. Yes. I might have a coffee after this one, I think.
Yeah, treat yourself.
Mm.
Go on then. Go wild.
Something instant.
Yeah. Fantastic. Mm. So, how's the green stuff been treating you?
Well, it's been going really well. I've been really, really busy this summer. So
excellent.
And I've been taking advantage of all that really lovely weather we've been having.
Yep.
Because, my word, we've had summer in the autumn and autumn in the summer, I suppose.
It's been quite different, hasn't it? So how's that affected gardening then in general?
Well, I mean, just looking, you know, on the island, there's, I mean, this time of year, you know, you're starting to think about and putting plants in the ground.
Mm.
And, you know, to be honest, I would probably hold off for a wee bit longer unless, you know, certain plants can go in now. But, you know, if you're low on water, it's probably best just to, you know, just to hold off maybe for a month until until things start to, you know, look like they should. You know, I mean, we're really, I don't know about you, but we've had little rain for our tanks in the last 3 weeks or four weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we did have a huge amount of wet weather when we should have been enjoying a beautiful summer on the beach.
Mm.
But now, of course, that all the kids have gone back to school and are back stuck in the classrooms, we've had a bit better weather, which is a bit unfair on them.
Mm.
But so, but I was going to say, so in general, you'd say just hold off on your main planting?
Well, when I say hold off, I mean, if you're doing a lot of planting, you know, and you haven't got a lot of water, then I'd probably leave it for a while.
Right.
But there are things that you could be doing. I mean, because of, on the flip side of this weather, it's been really, really helpful for top dressing your lawn. So adding organic matter to your lawn to bring out all those lumps and bumps that you might have in a lawn. That's something that I've been doing a lot of lately.
Right.
With a colleague, is we've been just getting lawns nice and level, putting down fresh seed, and using a combination of sand and compost and obviously topsoil.
Okay, great. All right. So what sort of plants would you say are good for now then?
I mean, if you've got some succulents you want to plant, so those big, fleshy, spiky types of plants, so aloes, agaves, those types of plants, then obviously, you know, you can't really go wrong at the moment. And most times of the year, unless it's really, really wet, they would be good plants to plant.
Okay. So what about veggies for this time of year? Because I know a lot of people are increasingly, we're getting into our veggie gardening. Mm. What sort of stuff would you say is a right to plant about now?
Well, it depends, really. I mean, some people are very astute and they actually take things on from seed. And I mean, the climate is really still quite mild. So, I mean, people are still growing lettuces.
Are they?
So, you know, not myself because I haven't got enough time, but I should be. Then you can start looking at silver beet. The herbs and stuff are now starting to quieten down a little bit.
Right.
You know, I think generally, you could be looking to more of those winter veggies. You know,
sort of beetroot and
beetroot, broccoli, those sorts of things. But we're quite privileged up here to have such a mild climate, and you can get away with planting a few things when really down in the south of this country you can't. You know,
right?
So,
okay.
Of
course that makes sense. Of course,
But yeah, I mean, on the amenity side of, you know, you could be looking at planting your bulbs still.
Right.
So, you know, if you're after a nice a display of daffodils and those sorts of things, then, you know, some people love them.
As ex-pommies love our daffodils, for sure.
Yeah, you know, the daffodils and little sheep hopping through the meadow. I mean, it's all part and parcel, isn't it? Unless, of course, you've got someone who mows the lawns regularly, then you just have to be careful where you, and remember where you've planted them. That's a really important thing
You wouldn't forget where you planted them, would you?
Well, it's surprising. Like if you plant en masse near a lawn or under a tree, you know, you've just got to remember where you planted them. Otherwise, you might have a little bit of a barren showing in the spring.
Oh, right. So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, other things that are happening in the garden. I mean, I talked about top dressing your lawns.
Yep.
It's perfect because when the rain finally does come, you know, and you've put some fertiliser with that top dress, you're going to get, you know, it's going to strengthen your lawn. It's going to produce, it's something that's really important to do. And it's not done enough, really. Your lawn can be sometimes the neglected plant, or the turf can be a neglected neglected type of plant on the property.
Yeah, I guess it can really. You don't give it as much thought, do you? Because you're sort of looking at the aesthetics of what you can create with colour and texture with plants. Mm. So it's about it's a good point actually. I hadn't really thought of that, but actually it's quite essential if you want to spend any time on the garden. Mm. If you want to enjoy it, then that the grass is good as well, I guess.
Yeah, because you can end up with just a lot of broadleafs, so dandelions and plantain and all those sorts of things. And, you know, it's
so what's the trick to make sure you don't end up with those then?
Well, I mean, you can go you can spray them out.
Yeah,
but not everybody's into that. You can pull them out by hand. There's a very handy tool you can use. Looks cross between a fork and a trowel. And that's quite a handy device to have for pulling out all those.
And does it have a name, the tool?
Well, I call it a really good weeding thingy. I don't have a name.
A really good weeding thingy.
I should know the name, but I think it's amazing.
So you go, darn it, where's my really good weeding thingy?
Weeding thingy. But, you know, the other things too to think about, obviously, with the autumn is when the rains do finally come, hopefully you've fertilised your gardens and you've weeded your gardens regularly, and then you're putting in a bit of mulch. And, you know, those sorts of basic things in your garden at the moment are really important, especially in the autumn.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you've trimmed your hedge and you've fertilised after you've trimmed your hedge, that's a good thing too. So, the hedge is another thing, another plant that you might not think about too much on the properties.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. Now what I've been dying to ask you, and actually was asked by Simon and Elle from the Breakfast Show, when I told them that you were coming in, because they like your slot,
right,
particularly Simon, who does lawns, they were asking, what are you going to do for Plant of the Month? And so I was saying, we have to do our little pretend drum roll. So it's... Plant of the Month this month is...
Ah, Plant of the Month. I've even brought one in today.
I know.
Because I've got 300 of them at home. they're called rain lilies.
Rain lilies.
Now, if you want a bit of autumn colour on the ground, so a low ground cover, if people know what mondo grass is, it sort of has the same height as mondo grass.
So that's about a foot, two feet really, is it?
Well, actually, it can get to about half a metre in height, so...
That's a bit more than 2 feet, isn't it? About two and a half,
And... This candidate's from South America, and it's called the rain lily, or fairy lily, but I suppose, you know, let's...
Fairy lily. Fairy lily.
You know, like with wings.
Yeah. So either one's nice.
Yes. So, but if you're going to call it either of those things, that's fine, but... the reason it's called rain lily is simply because when the rains come, it produces a lovely white flower. And so the white flower comes in autumn. And if this is planted en masse or along borders of gardens, it looks quite amazing.
Let's hold that up so that I can see it. Obviously, the listeners can't. Oh, that is very pretty, isn't it?
Mm.
So it's basically... Do you know what it reminds me of?
Mm.
A little snowdrop, if a snowdrop had really opened up. Do you know what I mean?
I agree.
That sort of size and colour, but very pretty.
No, they're very pretty, and I mean they're pretty easy to look after as well. Because once they're done, they're a bulb.
Right.
So they're going to keep coming back every year, and you want the botanical name?
Let's just come back to the mic. Yep.
So the botanical name is Zafranthi candida. So if you've got a lisp, then it's very easy to pronounce. Zafranthi.
Come back to the mic, James.
Yes, Zafranthi. Yep. Yeah. And so lush green, autumn flower, semi-hardy, it's a nice contrast to other plants.
Excellent. Lovely. Thank you. So that was plant of the month, rain lily. Lovely. Thank you very much, James, for coming in. As always, a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you
and,
very much.
I hear that congratulations are in order in your household as well. I believe you've been busy in the 6 months that since we've been on air together.
Yes, no, I've got a wee baby boy called Jack.
Yeah, and he's a beautiful stunner with killer eyes. He's fantastic.
He is, and he's keeping me very busy.
Yeah, you enjoying fatherhood?
Oh, loving it. Yep.
Excellent. Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Yeah, we could waffle on for a while.
Yes, it's like a very learning something new every day.
absolutely. All right, well, thanks. I'll let you get back to him. Thank you very much for coming in.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
And I'd like to welcome in the studio my next guests. We've got Carol Winstanley and Peter Rickies. Hello, everybody. Kia ora.
Hi there.
Hi. So I'll start with you, Carol. You come in to talk today about Theatre of Resistance. What is that?
Well, I'll put you just a little bit in the history, which is a focus of Theatre of Resistance, actually, that we don't leave our history behind us but bring it into the present. So we began, Theatres of Resistance began a couple of years ago, and we did a play called Seven Jewish Children. It was a play for Gaza, and we had a panel after that play, and there were discussion of issues. It was also very well supported by Scott Ewing, who did our technical and image backing. So that when we started to think, what will we do next, I came up with the idea that, well, essentially we could, there was so many issues, they were linked at both the local, national and international level, and that they needed dramatic focus. And so the way we last year was our first actual Theatres of Resistance,
right?
And it was a May Day event. We had it over. It just happened to coincide with May Day, which is an International Day of Labour. And so we did it over the Saturday and the Sunday. We made it in the afternoon because it starts to get cold. And we also wanted to ensure that the range of ages across the community could get there and could come and stay and leave and at their...
To make it easy access for people.
Yes,
absolutely.
And so we're still, that's the format that we've followed, and it's from 2 to 6.
So let's just be clear, we're talking about this weekend and next weekend. So today, basically, we're talking about it happening today.
That's right.
Great. So it's from 2 till 6 today.
That's it.
Excellent. Now, what's going to be involved, Peter Rickies?
There's a series of... topic coverages. For example, I'm doing a monologue on the constitutional status of the treaty.
All right.
Which I call the Queen's Shilling, and it's all about linking the past and the present and the future, and it's focused on my own particular heritage, so it's quite interesting from that point of view, but very topical because the constitutional debate is one still in train with the government and the Māori Party. So there's that issue. There's my role, apart from the sort of cultural aspects of doing openings, mihi mihi and so on, is to make sure there's a coherent Indigenous component within what Theatres of Resistance do.
Right.
And there's a lot of topics, for example, the offshore drilling.
Yes.
Oil drilling and things that have an Indigenous rights element and so on. So... And that's an area I've been heavily involved in all my life, so there's nothing new there.
That's with your background in law, I take it.
Well, I'm a founding member of Ngā Tamatoa, which is now nearly 50 years old, and that was the sort of first so-called radical Māori protest group. And I worked for the New Zealand Māori Council and so on, tribal groups directly involved in these things. So within my lifetime, and I'm now getting an old bugger, a lot's changed, an enormous amount's changed. And change is continuing, but as things change, so does the resistance. And so does the importance of the status no, which means, you know, I've taken that status quo and turned it around, because what we need to do is resist and understand we have the right to say no. We have the right to say no to the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement.
And yeah, absolutely. And also very topical for this weekend with what's happening in town with the protest march.
Yep. Back to Carol on that one, I think.
Yes, that one was briefly, very briefly, was a shock for us, because we said, how are we going to deal with this? Because we know quite well that it will be major. I mean, the Hikoi is gathering strength as it comes down from the north, and there will be thousands of people out there
today. Will. Yes.
And quite a few of the Waihekians that would be coming to our theatre will be there.
Yes.
So what we did was organise a small march up through Onaroa. We'll be gathering at the Red Cross. Well, we'll actually be taking off from the Red Cross at 1:30, because there will be some people who'll take a small part in that march, and then they'll be heading for the ferry, because that's where they'll be. So what we've been able to do is link with the organisers of Aotea Not For Sale. Of course, so many of us are in all of these groups anyway.
Absolutely, right? Multi-hats, yeah.
And what has worked is that Hugh Ross is going to be over in Auckland. He will be sending us back small, they're calling them email packages, of footage of the march, the speakers, what is going down in Queen Street, and that will be part of Theatres of Resistance.
Perfect. Fair.
So we're in solidarity. This is what we are, and so there'll be quite a few from Auckland, I believe, who'll be over here on the 5th, because our theatres spans the 1st of May, which is actual May Day, which is Tuesday this year. So we're doing the 28th, then up at the cinema on May 1st we'll have a bundle again of documentaries that will be about the history and the present labour movement.
Don't forget Basil.
Yeah, you've got a speaker.
Basil.
Yes. Basil. You've got a speaker coming as well to that, I believe.
No, we're just having us.
Oh, right, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
People will come and discuss.
Right, fantastic. So that's on Tuesday, Tuesday evening at 7:30,
right.
Is it?
7:30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just picked that out of my head because I thought that one.
I think it's 7, actually.
Okay, all right, well, we'll check. We can check what time that's on at 7 o'clock-ish.
Yeah.
Okay, that's great. And then next Saturday there'll be further Theatre of Resistance stuff happening, and again at the Artworks, the same time, 2 till 6.
That's right.
Great. But it's not a repeat programme. One of the interesting things we can do with this format is change the slots around and introduce
new
and there is more of a May Day focus on the second Saturday.
Right,
and,
okay.
You know, reference to Basil and his memory.
His great works, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so just to clarify, and particularly useful, I think, for those people that would have liked to go to the protest march in town, but perhaps for whatever reason can't make it, then come on down to the Artworks Theatre this afternoon, because then in all senses of the word, other than physically being there, you will be taking part and showing your support. That's what I'm reading from
yes,
this
and
today.
The thing is that will give us a bit of a connection again with our history and what is going on in Europe, because the May Day celebrations are big in many parts of the world.
Yeah.
And they've never been able to be put into place in New Zealand.
No, in the UK there's always big festivals around May Day in all the towns and villages. So just to clarify again what sort of performers are happening, because I've actually got your poster here, and so I'm not sure which weeks these are happening, but I've got that we've got from musicians, we've got Katie Souljack, Anu Grace, Billy Fluid, we've got Peter Ricky's doing his stuff, and Shireen Brown, Janet Salis, various speakers, and then some short films. That sounds it's like you've got heaps going on. Are you going to fit that all in?
Yeah, well, this time they have reined me in because last time I just sort of, oh, come, more.
Reined you in, Carol? Is right. that possible?
No.
No, I know this lady.
Yeah, right.
That may have attempted to, but I don't think anybody could fully rein you in when you're...
Well,
try. Yeah, when you get going, yeah.
None of us need to be reined in on this. There's one of the banners that will be carried in the march from 1:30, because come on out there, those are our streets.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't have to put in a traffic plan 6 weeks ahead, which is what it would have been. So be out there, and we're marching under a banner of TPPA, and this is that so-called free trade deal, which will be an absolute rollover of our whole democratic systems and sovereignty. Total loss of sovereignty. And so this marvellous banner that Nora West made, she's
oh, yes.
great, and it says TPPA takes people's power away.
Oh, fantastic. Wow.
Well,
oh,
we're
like
going to take our power back.
Wow, power to the people. Absolutely. Okay, well, listen, thank you very much for coming in. It's been excellent, as always, to speak to you. I really, really support what you're doing, and I hope it has a great, great turnout today from the Waiheke people. So between, 1:30, guys, outside the Red Cross to do for the march, and if you can't make that, then 2 o'clock till 6 o'clock, and it's very much a pop-in and pop-out. You don't have
and
to commit.
And it's participatory. That's yeah. what I want to emphasise. There's yeah. opportunities for people to add their views.
Great.
And then there's a wrap-up at the end, half an right. hour of Poro okay. Poro Aki at the yeah. end of them.
Now, when we say participatory, some people may get a little bit nervous of that. The breakfast guys this morning, when I was talking about it, they were like, oh, do we have to talk? And I was like, no, not unless you want to. If you have something you want to say, or you want to make a comment on something, absolutely. But you're not going to be dragged asked to speak.
You're not lassoed. And
no. Well, not unless you want to be.
This is not a captive audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
No.
So it's very much you can pop in and take part as you wish.
Yes.
But I wish you all the best, and I hope it goes really well.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
1 6 7 8 4 AO 3 4 1
Waiheke Radio, 2 frequencies, 1 grid station, 107.4, 88.3.
Well, hello. You're listening to Island Life, and it's me, Emma, in the chair this morning. I was going to say this evening, but I'm not wishing the weekend away, that's for sure. And I'd like to welcome our final guest for the morning into the studio, and we've got Neil Harding from Island Chiropractic. Hi, Neil.
Hi. Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Very good, thank you.
Have you been busy?
Yeah, busy this morning. Just finished a clinic session just a few minutes ago.
Excellent. And you've shot on down. Well, thank you very much for coming in. That's excellent. So, we're going to talk about back health in general, but particularly, because it's a topic close to my heart at the moment, we're going to talk about babies and back health, aren't we?
Yes.
So, how safe is it really for babies to have chiropractic treatment? That's something that's been a topic of conversation between myself and some other new mummies recently.
Well, exactly. And certainly from my perspective, being safe, gentle, sort of words that... feel good. My journey with chiropractic began as a parent.
Oh, really?
Before I was a chiropractor, and the reason I'm a chiropractor is because of an adjustment to my 4-month-old baby that screamed the first 4 months of his life day and night with quite severe colic.
Right.
That didn't resolve with conservative methods of sort of medical management, really. It just, nothing was changing, and it was only when I took him to a chiropractor and he did some gentle assessment, did some very gentle adjustments to his spine, that we took him home and slept the first night of his life, and next day had this healthy baby that was not crying, had no reflux, no
happy.
Colic, just this normal baby. And
wow.
It was, for me, absolutely miraculous.
Yeah.
And it was at that moment that I thought...
Well,
it was at that moment I thought, I want to do this. This is just
really?
Amazing. Yeah. And so at that point I'd moved to Australia. I had got UE accredited in New Zealand. They didn't accept accreditation in Australia, so I had to go back to high school for a year in Brisbane and do seventh form again, and then I got into chiropractic college in Melbourne and did my 5-year training. Then came back to New Zealand, moved to Cambridge, and had a practice in Cambridge that was probably 50% paediatric.
Right.
So I'm very sort of experienced in that. It's really close to my heart.
Yeah.
Is the issue of children and kids and getting them off to the right start. And the first trauma we have in life is being born.
Yeah.
And even a normal delivery is quite traumatic. It's a fairly small space.
Yeah.
And then when you consider forceps, emergency cesarean, where the child is actually pulled against the contracting muscles, can be actually more traumatic than a normal delivery. And Ventus, other sort of extraction sort of procedures, can be quite traumatic on a baby. And and so really it's, in my view, it makes perfect sense, given that something is safe and gentle, it would be to, any new baby should be checked to see that it sort of got through that birth trauma okay and
right.
doesn't sort of have the handbrake on.
Okay.
And it's so, for me, my job really is to assess babies and check that they haven't got a handbrake on.
Right, okay.
And, when we say it's a metaphoric handbrake, and what's a handbrake?
Mm.
There are a number of things that
That's
can handbrake
you,
a
yeah.
child.
Mm.
And when we think of chiropractic, we sort of think of pain and pain syndromes, and we don't necessarily think visceral health, organs. When you're looking at chiropractic, we're looking at the interrelationship between the spine and the nervous system, understanding that the nervous system is the communication from the brain to and from every cell of the body. So anything and everything is influenced by the brain. And when we have problems with the spine that can come through trauma, particularly sort of birth trauma, it can interfere with those that communication process. And in things like colic, I mean, this is what I found. It's interesting because there is a bit of debate, particularly within the sort of medical community, that possibly that there's no link between chiropractic and colic, and that the evidence may be that the research doesn't sort of prove it or show it, or they can't find the pathways or the mechanisms. And as far as I'm concerned, as a parent, I saw it clearly. There was a direct causal relationship between that adjustment and the complete cessation of colic in my child. It was, you know, I use the word miraculous, which is quite a powerful word.
Yeah, it's a strong word.
Then we look at, well, you know, it that... It's incredibly important that we sort of get that those pathways working.
Right, okay. So let's talk about what sort of manipulations. I mean, I'm a subscriber to chiropractors. I've gone to various chiropractors for the last 20 years since I had a really serious car accident, and it's really helped me personally. But you know, I can understand some people being a little bit hesitant about, because it feels like it's a severe thing, the severe treatment.
Mm.
So I can understand people being a little bit hesitant about bringing their babies in. Talk me through what sort of thing people do for chiropractors in general would do when looking at babies.
Yeah, well, what I've talked about is the assessment. You know, obviously then if we find there's a problem, then we've got to look at how we deal with that process. Now, as a profession, you know, we've thought about that as well.
Sure, of course, yeah.
In the sense that the type of manipulation or adjustment that we do to an adult neck, we may not consider appropriate for a newborn's neck. And certain things, in all situations within chiropractic, we look at modifying what we do and suiting the an appropriate technique to suit that particular person. And I mean, from my perspective, there's about 8 different techniques that I use. I have my main sort of techniques, but there are other arrows in my quiver, so to speak, that I will use. Now, with a newborn baby, what's really important to me is that it's safe and gentle, and that it's an appropriate I suppose force, I suppose, is the word, which isn't a particularly good word, because the chiropractic technique is one of, it's more one of speed, but not force. And so we have a little tool called an activator that is a controlled force that I actually use through my finger. If I was to put my finger on the palm of your hand and use this tool on my finger into your hand, you probably wouldn't feel anything.
Right.
It's very, very gentle.
Mm.
But it's enough of a stimulation to initiate a healing response.
Right. So that's the key, isn't it? It's that it's talking about stimulation rather than sort of large adjustments. So it's stimulating the nervous system to almost, I think have I heard you describe it once before as rebooting?
Well, rebooting, recalibrating, they're words I like to use.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the human body is amazing.
Mm.
And it there are certain little reboot buttons that we find, and which is sort of fascinating. It's fascinating for me that as amazing as our bodies are, they can adapt and cope with things, but they don't always have the ability to self-heal.
Right.
And sometimes it needs professions of people like chiropractors, osteopaths,
sure,
acupuncturists, you know, different of those complementary medicine sort of professions to do particular techniques and in different ways to stimulate healing responses.
Mm.
And we have all these amazing little buttons and meridians and different pathways to stimulate healing.
Great. Okay, that's fantastic. So I think if somebody was perhaps nervous about bringing their baby to a chiropractor, it would be a good idea to sort of check what sort of tools were going to be used. So this thing that before, obviously they do that. So this activator is something that would be done, and it's just like it looks like a big sort of screwdriver pen type thing, doesn't it? That's
kind of
what it is.
Yeah,
and it's just a little sort of click.
Yeah, it does a little click, and it's a control click. I can adjust the depth.
Right.
So this particular it can move one sort of from 1 millimeter up to about sort of 7 or 8 millimeters.
Great.
It's a spring-loaded device.
And now, colic, you mentioned it's good.
Yeah.
It's good for what? What else would you say is good for?
The things I've seen.
Suffering with their
when
babies.
I was in Cambridge, I had a special interest in pediatrics, and that's certainly how I promoted myself. And I ended up having children coming all over Waikato to see me. I had a couple of little miraculous type experiences there that the word sort of spread, and it was quite amazing. And there are, can you mind if I share a couple of stories?
No, absolutely.
There was a couple of situations that were interesting, because they're not always the issues that we see with our children are not always issues that you would think a chiropractor would help with. I had one young boy who came to see me. They came from the other side of Taramanu. It was about 2.5 hour drive each way, and he had a stammer, a speech issue. He was seeing a speech therapist. Couldn't really put a sentence together. Their parents, I was discussing this with them, they brought their son in to see me, and found a problem in his neck, did a gentle adjustment to his neck. On the way home in the car, he was putting full sentences together, and they just couldn't believe it, that he could, that the stammer seemed to completely disappear. So then he sort of fell backwards off the couch and hurt his neck again and started stammering, and then they brought him back, and because it was a long drive. So I started to only see him as the stammer came back, which was sort of an indicator that his neck was out, and that was of decreasing frequency. Then another situation I had was a three-year-old girl who had been constipated since birth. She was seeing specialists at Waikato Hospital. They were considering explorative surgery. They thought she had this Hirschsprung's disease, which is a poorly innervated colon. Found a problem in her lower back. Adjusted it with the activator. That day she had her first normal bowel movement in her life, and her bowel was fine from then on.
Wow.
I had another young girl, she had a similar constipation issue, which resolved, but she also had abdominal migraines, migraine headaches that you experience in your tummy.
Oh, God.
So severely that they actually called it cyclical vomiting syndrome. Her parents could predict to the day of the month when she'd start vomiting until they got her to hospital and had an antiemetic injection.
Oh.
And that was a problem coming from her neck, and I adjusted her neck, and that stopped. And so for these families, it was incredibly rewarding.
Oh, life-changing, really.
Incredible. I mean, yeah. your child's vomiting and can't stop until they get to hospital with an injection every month, and that had been going on for over a year. It's very, very powerful.
I can actually I can understand the thing with vomiting with headaches. I mean, sometimes they can be so severe, and mine is related to my car accident, having my neck put out. I can understand that. And for a little one who can't explain where and what the pain is, that must be horrific for those parents. Mm. So really, there are a wealth of benefits for going and getting your baby or young child checked out. I know that you're a supporter of many complementary medicines.
Sure. We all have our place. Different people respond to different things.
Yes,
people
absolutely.
Have their preferences. My advice to people is when you live in a community, find out who the people are in your community and try them and see who you have that rapport with.
Brilliant. Okay, that's fantastic, Neil. Thank you very much for coming in. That's excellent. And hopefully there's a few parents out there that's given some food for thought to, for sure. I know a few parents whose child has been suffering with, new baby, been suffering with colic, and had a little bit of it ourselves with our new baby. And it's no joke, really, when they can't stop crying and you can't make everything better for them. Mm. Right. Thanks very much for coming in, Neil.
It's been a pleasure.
Excellent talking to you as always.
You've been listening to the Interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onewarra.